Praise the Lord. You can turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians and then Luke. You can get those two books. Get your finger in there. Appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. And the subject of stewardship is it's a subject that has with it a little bit of weight. It's one of those subjects that sometimes you just don't like to hear about. The issues of stewardship. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And I want to look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 12. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive to himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And said unto them, occupy till I come." Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask you to bless it tonight. And pray that, Lord, as we look into your word, that we will receive from it, Lord, that which we need to continue occupying till you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see this scripture here of this nobleman. He said, occupy until I come. Now, that doesn't mean sometimes you talk about occupy, someone occupies a seat. This seat is occupied, and you're just sitting there. That's not what the scripture is referring to. He wasn't saying just sit on it. Just have it and just let it sit and lie. But he was indicating to them to not just occupy, but to take the management of it and give it the proper use. Take the management of it and give it the proper use. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." A faithful man. That which is someone you can trust. A man be found faithful, trustworthy. He found faithful, that he's been faithful to do his duty. A man that's be found faithful, one who keeps his promise. That a man be found faithful, that he's one that'll be bound by his promise. He'll be bound by his pledge. He'll be bound by his loyalty and his honor and his love. In stewardship, there's some concepts that are the three, what I see is the three basic concepts of stewardship. First of all is ownership. Ownership. Whenever we look at this parable here in Luke 19, he delivered unto them 10 pounds. It was his. If you read a similar parable in Matthew 25, it uses those words. He delivered unto them his goods. It was his. The ownership. Who has the ownership of what is given here? And then when the nobleman leaves, it's in the possession of those servants. It still is under the ownership of the noble. There's ownership, there's responsibility. That's the use of. What am I going to do with it? What's the use that I'm going to put it to? There's ownership, there's responsibility, and then there's accountability that has to do with stewardship. Accountability, that I'm going to stand in account. I'm going to be judged. I'm going to be criticized. I'm going to be rewarded or punished. I'm going to face and give answer for what I've done. Ownership, responsibility, and accountability. And we as believers are placed in the position of a steward in many areas of our life. We are stewards. We have been given a valuable possession. It's been placed in our hands, in our care. It was given to us, but it doesn't belong to us. It's God's. We have the responsibility to give it the proper use, and we will stand accountable for how we used it. And I want to look at a few areas where we are stewards. Moreover, it is required in stewards. We are stewards. And the first area of stewardship that I want to talk about tonight is our stewardship of the gospel. We as believers have a stewardship of the gospel. Now, obviously, the ownership of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the gospel. He is the good news. He is the word. He is salvation. He is hope. He is himself the gospel. So obviously, he's the owner. But we have a responsibility to the gospel. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. And he went on to tell him to not waste time with a bunch of craziness, but get to the real business of preaching the gospel. Avoid those vain, profane, vain babblings. Avoid all that stuff, but get to the business of the gospel. The gospel has been committed to you and I. It's been committed to the church. It's been committed to believers. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we read verse 2, but verse 1 says, let a man so account of himself as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We have been given the responsibility of the gospel. It has been turned over to us. And then verse 2 says, moreover, we must be faithful in it. The Lord has given us the gospel. He's given us the gospel. First of all, we've experienced it ourselves. It's not just an object that's been placed in our hands, but we have realized the life-giving power of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. We've experienced the life that's in the gospel. We've experienced how it changes our lives and how that it makes us new and it regenerates us. It's our salvation. We've experienced that. It's not just something that we, like our money that I'm going to talk about later, that's just in my pocket or in my bank account. But this is something that's in my life that really has changed me. And I have the responsibility as a steward to make the proper use of the gospel. And the proper use of the gospel, he gave us the command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave us the command. He gave us the command how to make proper use of the gospel. Go tell. Go let others know. Go share it. And however, you know, there's lots of different ways that we can work and can work in the kingdom of God to share the gospel. We can be a part of our own one-to-one witness with someone. We can be a part of church ministries. We can be a part of mission organizations. So there's lots of different ways that we can bear the responsibility of the gospel that we have been given and make the proper use of it. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that ye receive not your salvation in vain. You're not receiving it in vain. You haven't been saved and just put off to the side and to have no effect on anyone else. But we are a steward of the good news of the gospel that has changed our life. And it's our responsibility to make sure that it goes into the rest of the world. There's lots of ways that we can do that. The ownership is his. The responsibility is ours. And we are accountable to share that gospel, to be good stewards of it. Ezekiel, the Lord told him, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him no warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hands. We are accountable. We are accountable to share the gospel, to be good stewards of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 tells us, but we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now it says here, according to the deeds, may receive the things done in his body, done in his body. I believe that his there is talking about Christ. What have we done in his body to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ? And this is the judgment seat of Christ, where believers come before him, and we will answer to him as to how we have handled the gospel of Jesus. Have we been willing to share the gospel? Or have we shut it up? Have we put that light under a bushel? Have we put it under the table? Have we kept it down? We are stewards of the gospel. We are responsible to share it, and we will be held accountable. We are stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another area of stewardship that we have is we have a stewardship of our body. We have the stewardship of our body. This body that he gave me, that he created, that my life and my spirit, my soul lives in. Ezekiel 18 says, "Behold, all souls are mine, and as the Father of the Son, so also the soul of the Son of Man." That's not the scripture I wanted to read. "For whether we live, or whether we live unto the Lord, whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." We are the Lord's. This body is the Lord's. It says, "What? Know ye not that your temple? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" This is a simple concept of stewardship. This body is not mine. It's not mine. It's given to me from the Lord. And it's mine to care for. My responsibility. He was talking to him there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 about being partakers with harlots and defiling their body in that way. But this principle of stewardship of this body that God has given me goes beyond that sin of adultery. It goes beyond that, but we are responsible that this temple of the Holy Ghost, this place where the Spirit of God dwells, is to be a place that I care for and that I give respect to and that I keep my body from those things that would harm it. And I glorify God in my body. That's what the scripture says. "Wherefore glorify God in your body." In my body. I want to make sure that this body that God has given me, that I care for it, that, in the practical ways of things, that I don't do anything that would harm it, and I do the things that'll help it. I don't take things into it that will defile it, alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, things like that. I don't bring those things in. I'm careful about what I eat. I gotta eat and I gotta keep eating, but I'm careful about those kinds of things. I need to make sure that I care for it. But because this body, I am a steward of it. It's important for us to do that. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, "We are accountable, wherein ye think it strange that they run not, that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." The world wonders why Christians don't do all those things to their body. They wonder why. And we do it because we know it's the temple of the Holy Ghost, but we also do it because the very next verse in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 5 says, "Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" I'm going to care for this body. I'm going to be a steward of this body because it belongs to God. It is a temple of the Holy Ghost. My responsibility is to care for it. Another area of stewardship is our time. Our time. We are stewards of our time. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God, he owns time. He was before time began. He is the eternal one." He said in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, "As it is appointed unto man once to die." Our time and span of life is appointed by God. He has assigned it and given it to us. The span of life that we have been given, we have a stewardship of it. It is ours to make the proper use of, to make the proper use of our time. We have that responsibility. It says in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we might apply our heart to wisdom. We should be careful with our time. Number our days. See the importance of our time. Ecclesiastes 12:1 gives exhortation to the young who think they have lots of time. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That we're supposed to be careful and understand that we give an account for our time in this life, as long and as short as it may be, that we are responsible for the time that God has given it. This is one area that when we wake up in the morning, the rich man and the poor man has the same 24 hours given to them. The next hour that we live, the rich man and the poor man have the same 60 minutes. It's all the same. It's a level playing field when it comes to time. We are responsible for our time. It's for us to make sure that we are using our time for the glory of God. We're using our time for the things that God desires for us to do, that we're not wasting it on the trivial pursuits of life, that we're not wasting it on just the sensual pleasures and the things that make us feel good, but that we're using our time for the best benefit of God's kingdom. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 29 says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. The time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as those that had none. What's he talking about? He's talking about there that if you're not married, you can really get out there and start preaching all over the world as quickly as possible because you don't have a family and you can just go. So Paul's saying, time is short. It'd be nice if we could all do this, is what he's saying. And then he goes on to say, as they that use this world, not as abusing, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Time passes, and we've got to make the best use of it. That's what Paul was saying. Time passes quickly, and we've got to make the best use of it. 1 Peter 1:17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. We got to be careful. It's saying, look diligently, pass the time in fear. Recognize that the minutes and the moments, the hours and the days that you live are precious times. And we need to take everyone as a valuable time to use in the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Don't be foolish. And he goes in to say in the next verse, how do we walk circumspectly? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming it. Buying it. How do you redeem time? How do you buy back time? You make the best use of it. You get the most out of it. And make sure that you're working to see the kingdom of God built. Oh, time passes so quickly. A couple years ago, when Abigail turned 9, I told Rebecca, I said, we're halfway finished if she leaves at 18. And now she's 12. Time goes. We've got to make the best use of our time. It's so valuable. We look at certain things and we say, you know, I'll do that later. I'll do that tomorrow. But procrastination often steals from us. But this scripture says redeeming the time. Buy back some of that time that you've been letting fly away. Buy back some of that time that has been frittered away with the useless and the temporary. Buy back some of that time and make the best use of it. We're stewards of our time. Hebrews 9 and 27, I started with that when we talked about the ownership. It's appointed unto man once to die. The rest of the verse says, but after this, the judgment. We give an account. The time is given to us from God. It's ours to make the proper use of it. And as stewards, we will give an account for our time. What have we done? What have we done with the time that God has given us? Stewardship. Another area of stewardship is our family. Our family. We have a stewardship of our family. Psalm says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. They're from the Lord. He gives them to us. The families that God has given us, He has given them to us. Psalm 139 talks about that each of those children that He knew, they were written in a book. He had a scrapbook for them before Mama did. It was written in His book. They were already all there. He knew how they were formed. It talked about Jeremiah. Before, when you were formed in the womb, I had called thee. They're His. The children are His. The ones that He's given us, the responsibility, they belong to Him. And we have the oversight, the care. What are we supposed to do with them? What is our responsibility? They are His children. He's given them to us. We dedicate them and give them back to Him. And what is our responsibility? Well, one thing I thought of is, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's our scripture verse this month in school. Provoke not your children. We've got to make sure that we're handling them in a godly way. We got to make sure that we're doing that. It tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. That is our responsibility. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 6 to teach them diligently, talking about these laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Teach them diligently unto thy children. When? Just every once in a while? No, when you get up, when you lay down, when you sit down to eat, when you go in the way, when you're going out the door. All places of your life, our responsibility is to teach them and to train them in the ways of the Lord. And I guess it goes back to our stewardship of the gospel. Our first place to share the gospel is in our home with our children, and make sure that our children know Jesus Christ. Children are an heritage of the Lord. It is our responsibility to train them and to teach them. We are the stewards of the families that God has given us, and we will stand accountable for how we have brought them the gospel, how we have managed our time in our family. We will stand accountable for that. We have stewardship of the gospel. We have a stewardship of a body that God has given us. We have stewardship of time that God has given us. We have stewardship of families that God has given us. We have stewardship of the possessions that God has given us. And oftentimes this is the area of stewardship that we spend a lot of time talking about. And one reason that we spend a lot of time talking about it is because oftentimes the area of possessions begins to rob from the other areas of our stewardship. It begins to steal our search for possessions, and money takes time that should be spent otherwise. Our search for possessions takes away our fulfilling of our responsibility for our families. Our search and our longing and our working for possessions will take away from our fulfilling of our stewardship of the gospel. And so sometimes we do spend a lot of time talking about our possessions, but we are stewards of our possessions, and we need to make sure that they stay in proper priority as stewards. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, and that means I gotta keep all of my duties in all the areas that God has appointed me to be a steward of. If that Lord had come back and had found that they had not been, faithful in all the areas, they would have not received the reward that they did. But our possessions, the ownership, who owns the things that I have? Did I work for them? Did I earn them? Are they mine to do with what I wish? The ownership is His. Exodus 19 says, "For all the earth is mine. For the land is mine," He said in Leviticus. In Chronicles, He says that of thine own. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. All things come from Him. Everything we have, it all belongs to Him. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Psalm 50 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills." Brother Jarvis should have sung that song. Sister Jarvis wouldn't let him. Haggai 2 and verse 8 says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." It's all His. We've just got a little bit of His. It's all His, and He's given it to us, and it's ours to make the proper use of. What's the proper use of the money that God has given us? What's the proper use of it? What should we do with the... Well, first of all, the proper use of what God has given us is to tithe, is to give back 10%. It was His to start with. It's His to start with. And so the first proper use of what God has given me is to give back to Him in honor of saying, "Yes, Lord, I recognize it was Yours. I recognize it was Yours." That's the proper use. And in Malachi, He said, He accused them of robbing God. He said, "You've robbed God." And then they look back at Him and say, "Well, Lord, how have we robbed Thee?" And He said, "Because You didn't bring the tithes. You didn't bring Me the tithes." But then He said in Malachi, He went on to say, "But bring Me all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in Mine house, and prove Me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will now open the windows of heaven and pour You out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive, and I will rebuke the devourer." You know, that first proper use of the possessions that God has given us, the giving of the tithe, it is really an avenue of spiritual warfare. He will rebuke the devourer. My action of giving is an attack on Satan. It's an offensive move towards Satan's plans in my life. It's an offensive move towards what Satan wants to do in my life. When I make the proper use of the possessions, the money that God has given me, and I pay my tithes, that is an act of spiritual warfare. And so, yeah, that's a real good use of my money. To use it to attack Satan and his attacks on me. To give back to God. It's a proper use to give God the honor and say, "Lord, I'm going to honor You with the first fruits of what You have given me. I'm going to give it right back to You. I'm going to honor You in my giving." Not only a proper use of what God has given us is to pay a tithe, but it's also to go above and beyond that and to give generously. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." God loveth a cheerful giver. That we don't just pay our tithes. Not just the obligation of a tithe, that would be giving grudgingly. But the giving of being a generous giver. A generous giver into God's kingdom. A generous giver to those in need. A generous giver that says, "Lord, with a cheerful heart, I'm ready to take all the blessings You've given me and ready to give it where it's needed next. It came to me, I needed it. Lord, where's it needed next?" And being a generous giver. Sowing, not sowing sparingly. We don't want to reap sparingly. We want to sow bountifully. And so that we will reap bountifully. And we want to give with a cheerful heart. We're stewards of the things God has given us. What's the proper use of the money that God has given us? What's our responsibility? We need to give our tithe. Then we need to give generously in offerings. We need to give to those that are in need. Be willing to give. Freely we have received, freely give. Willing to let go and say, "Lord, I'll make this. I'll sow this into this person's life. I'll sow this into this ministry. I'll sow this into this area." Sometimes we're scared of those words. You know, the faith teachers got us scared of a few words, you know, about sowing. But hey, I'm ready to sow into this ministry. I'm ready to sow in, because that's what it said. Sow, don't sow sparingly, but sow bountifully. What's the proper use of the money that God has given us? It's to tithe. It's to give generously. It's to use wisely to meet the necessities of life. Yeah, it's there for us to meet our needs, to provide for us, to give us the food, the clothes, the shelter, the things that we need. It's for planning for the future. And we are accountable for how we use it. The parable of the talents that is parable there in Luke chapter 19 and the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, when it spoke there of that those talents were given, that was an amount of money in those stories, a particular amount of money that was given. And that amount of money was to be used wisely. And when that Lord came back, he said, "What have you done with that I have given you?" We are accountable. Those that had used that wisely, those that had used it wisely, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things." We're stewards. We're stewards of the gospel. We're stewards of this body. We're stewards of our time. We're stewards of our family. We're stewards of our possessions. And we are accountable to use those possessions for the glory of God. Not in extravagance, not for self-satisfaction, but to use it for the glory of God. And Malachi tells us that if we do that, we're accountable. If we do and we use it in the right way, it says that he'll open the windows of heaven. What a blessing. What a blessing we'll receive. He'll open the windows of heaven. The devourer will be rebuked, and all our blessing will be there. Our vine will not cast her fruit. Neither shall the fruit be destroyed from our ground. He'll bless us when we make proper use of it. In the parable of the talents, it kind of gives us a little, that word that's used there in the King James. We are also stewards of our skills and abilities. God has given each of us a certain, there's that word skill set. We have a skill set. What's your skill set? Do you have a skill set for computers? Do you have a skill set for carpentry? Do you have a skill set for gardening? Do you have a skill set for mechanics? What's your skill set? God has given us talents. Now, in that parable of the talents, that word talent is talking about a sum of money. But I believe that we can also look at it as that God has given into each of us unique abilities and skills, unique talents. And as he has given them to us, they're not for us to consume them and just enjoy them of ourselves. But he has delivered unto us his goods. The things that I can do and that I do well, it's from him. It's him that has given me the ability to do that. And so my responsibility, as was with those men in the parable of the talents, is to take that and use it. And there are some of us that are, there are some among us that are five talent people. There's some of us that are two talent people. And there's some of us that are one talent people. And, you know, I don't see where the Lord cared one bit of difference with the five guy who got five more and the two guy that got two more. He said the same thing about both of them. It's not a matter of how big your talent is and how big it becomes. It's a matter of, did you take what you got and use it to its fullest? Did you take what you have and use? And I've always wondered, and I've asked this before, I think, in a sermon, if the five guy had only made one more talent, what would the master have said? If the two guy would have only made a half more talent, what would have the master? I don't know. But I want to make sure that as I use the talents and the skills that God, that I am using them to the full, to the best of my ability, in the kingdom of God, to grow His kingdom. That God has given me that, you know, the work that I do, that it is a glory to God. I glorify God in the work that I do. I glorify Him in the tasks that I undertake. And I give Him the glory for the success that I have. I give Him the glory for the things that He helps us do. So many times people in the world and even believers will look at the talents we have and we begin to think, oh, look what I am. Look what I'm able to do. We get stuck on ourselves. But as good stewards, we always recognize the ownership is His. The things that I can do, if I can sing, it's from the Lord. If I can speak, it's from the Lord. If I can work, it's from the Lord. If I can build, it's from the Lord. If I can put together, it's from the Lord. If I can clean up, it's from the Lord. If I can draw, it's from the Lord. It's from Him. It's not my talent. It's not that something that I can glory in, but it's something that He has given me through which I can give Him glory and I can bring honor to His name. He has the ownership of the talents and skills and abilities that He's given us. He's given them to us and they're ours to make the proper use of. Matthew 25 verse 19 says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. He came and reckoned. What have you done with what I gave you? The things that God has given us. In Luke chapter 12, there's another rendition of that parable. Not quite exactly the same, but a similar storyline in that you have a Lord that has left. He's left servants in care of His possessions. There in Luke 12 and verse 35, it says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Now, that's saying, be ready. Have your loins girded about and keep those lights on because something's about to happen. Verse 36, And ye yourselves likewise unto men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, He may open unto them immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know. And then verse 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? You know, as stewards, we're always aware that we've got to be ready. I'm answering for what I've got. I'm answering for the time right now. I'm answering for the family right now. I'm answering for the body right now. I'm answering for the gospel right now. I'm answering for this. And so as stewards, we're always aware that it's not ours, but we're working for Him. The things we have are His, and we're responsible to give the care of it. And in this parable, there's this urgency. There's this anxiousness. The Master's coming back. I gotta make sure everything's in line. I gotta make sure everything's the way it ought to be, cause the Master's coming back. They said they didn't know whether it was the second watch, or the third watch, or the first watch. But have your loins girded. Have your lights on. We can't waste a moment of time. We can't waste an opportunity to share the gospel. We can't waste this body. We can't waste the possessions that He's given us. We can't waste the skills and abilities that He's given to us. But we've got to say, right now is the time to use it. It's time to use the gospel. It's time to use our possessions. It's time to work with our families. It's time to apply our skills for the glory of God. It's now. Not later. Not tomorrow. Not another day. Not something we're going to do down the road. But right now is the time. For us to be those stewards Who then is a faithful and a wise steward? We're watching. We're working. We're occupying until He come. We're making the wise use of the things He's given us. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, that You challenge us, Lord, with these things. You help us to see that, Lord, it all is Yours. Lord, I've been given the stewardship of it. Lord, I'm responsible to make the wise use of it, Lord, because I know that You're returning. And Lord, I'll give an account of the things done in this body. I'll give an account of the time that I've spent. I'll give an account of the gospel that I've been given. Lord, I want to be found faithful. Lord, I want to hear You say those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Lord, we want to hear those words, "Well done." We want to hear those words of commendation. Lord, we want to bring You glory with our lives. Praise the name of Jesus.